It's going. Oh, yeah, it's going. All righty. Well, God bless you, everyone. Great to be here with you again. And yes, yeah, so this is interactive, okay? So please interrupt me. And this is for all of us, you know, because we're all parents and all trying to raise our children as the topic is, you know, the responsibility of parenting, positionally placing your children in the body. Okay, so let's just, I just want to pray again. I'm quite nervous, you know, but yes, let's pray. But we're all whānau, right? So, amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We can gather, Lord Jesus. We just want to seek your mind, Lord. We're all parents, Lord. We all want to see our children be placed in their position in Christ. We love you, Lord. So guard our tongues, Lord. May you speak through all of us. May you be glorified in our discussion in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So yes, so my wife is here, Christine's here. I'm sure you'll know her. We've got three girls. So Annalise is 14, Lilia is 12, Gabriel is 11, and we have William who's 5. So we're kind of in the early teenage kind of stage of parenting. Wait, well, I'm putting my phone away, I got notes, but you know, so that's our. So I wasn't raised as a Christian. I wasn't raised in the message. So it's for me, it's been a real journey because one is the Lord's been dealing with me, and then and it's really as we grow, you know, we grow with our children. You know, I was thinking of you know, David, when David's mighty men came to him, they weren't mighty men. They were discontented, they were in debt, they were discouraged, but God used David to bring them to their position, but also it was for David's good too. And I'm sure you've all experienced, like, you see yourself and your children. Who's experienced that? You know, you see your traits or your family's traits, and it's like God's dealing with you probably more than they're dealing with, you know, your children, right? But God's refining us as we parent them. But you know, I was thinking about this, about, you know, how the scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Okay, so we need and when I'm speaking to myself, because, you know, we need a vision of what do we want our family to become? What do we want our children to become? And you know, we tell our girls especially, you know, because, you know, we try and get them to help out around the house and these things, and they're like, what's the point? What are we doing this for? And we say to them, we're like, look, you know, one day we want you to be independent adults serving the Lord that you can basically just look after yourself. You know, so we want to train them that they can be they're independent. Because one day we won't be there to be looking after them. They have to be walking with the Lord themselves, right? So I think, you know, we need a you know, when we think about children, we think, you know, what do we want them to become? More, you know, not, now I'm not talking about careers, you know, I'm talking about, you know, what kind of character do you want to see them have? And, you know, do we want them to be you know, we want them to be future leaders. We want them to, you know, in the church or in their own family, you know, to be in such a way that we don't need to guide them anymore, but the Lord guiding them. You know, so I want this to be interactive, so please interrupt me. Okay, maybe just throw questions at you. You know, but has anyone found that maybe we'll just throw up some ideas, like what kind of children or what kind of young people do we want to have? You know, so to me, I want them to have an attitude where God is always right. You know, so no matter what they face, because to me that's having an eagle vision. But to me, eagle vision, you can encapsulate in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Those that love God and call according to his purpose, that we're not looking at the man's anointing of the circumstances. Look at the fact that God is wanting to build his character in us in everyday life. And so, mic around. I mean, we've all got different parenting journeys, right? We've come from different upbringings. God's brought us into the Word, and he's dealing with us as we are raising our children. And to me, I found probably the biggest thing is what they're looking for is identity. Where do they belong? You know, and also especially the people who acknowledge them when that they're adults, that person is the most important person in their life. Because every culture around the world, there's initiation into adulthood. Right, I'm probably jumping around a lot, sorry, but you know, like so. For example, you know, there's different tribes in Africa. There's the, you know, different ones where men are acknowledged that they are no longer boys; they're men. They're initiated into manhood, and it's the father that's got to do that. And it's the same thing with girls. There has to be an acknowledgement, you're a woman now, because they are looking to us to see where do we fit, where do we belong. Because if they don't feel, if they feel that home is not home, they'll find their identity somewhere else. And so to me, it's what we, it's where our heart is what'll influence them. Okay, so I remember years ago the girls were young. I don't think William was ever born, or maybe he was, I can't remember. Anyway, so I got really frustrated with my kids. I was outwardly, I was a parent, so I was helping raise them, read them stories, pray with them, walk, bath them, feed them, all those things. I was getting really like short fused. And they were good young kids, but and then the Lord started dealing with me. And I remember I was driving from, like, I was getting lunch at work. I was driving to the mall in Pairua and getting lunch. And the Lord said, the reason you're like this is because your heart is not in your family anymore. Because I just caught up with life, being busy, at the church, and, well, still at the church with family and young kids. And, it's busy, it's full on. But the thing is, the reason I was getting frustrated is because my heart wasn't in raising my children, though I was going through the motions. And unless the Lord showed that to me, I still would be that way. Because I think it's very easy, especially for us men, is to detach ourselves emotionally and just go through the motions. But if our heart is in our family, they feel that. They recognize it. And so I had to repent of that. Said, Lord, I had no idea. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And they were still the same old kids doing the same old things, but I didn't have that short fuse anymore because my heart was in raising them. And so I think that's such a key, is we must always make sure our hearts are in our family. That we're not looking for the future of one day when they're big, we can have a relationship with them now. Because it's our connection with them will keep them. Because if they come to a point where, especially, my wife is the master, she's got a lot of wisdom. She knows how to, you do, you just naturally, you see your face. But it's naturally, the girls especially can go talk to her. They can come to me as well. But we always try and foster a relationship where no matter, because we've got to create an environment where they can grow, but if they make mistakes, they know who to come to. Because we're all teenagers or kids once, right? So we've got to, like Brother Brown says, we've got to think their thoughts, think their age thoughts. Okay, so, but we've got to give them room that they can express themselves. Like it's within young, especially girls, they want to be beautiful. They want to do their hair. They want to look beautiful. That's their natural makeup. And we've got to build an environment where they can express themselves. Sometimes they go silly, they can get it wrong, but they got to grow, You got to give them a safe environment where they can express what's within them, right? And feel like I'm, we've got to be able to just make an environment where they feel safe at home. That home is not a prison, but home's a sanctuary. I'm on the chair. Anything, sorry. Think so? Brother Ben, close connection where you are. Sometimes I can catch it by the pretty dry. When we, like Brother Ben was saying, I think parenting is season two. And our relationship with our children changes. So I was in a very similar position with Brother Ben, raising children, having at the same time, and being so busy in the ministry that I didn't have time to put in children. Time, some years, we were 6 months of the year in mission groups. They would stop because my students were raising during the time. Then always, relying on the Lord, because as parents we don't always get it right. As well, we're progressing so that as our parenting progresses, their relationship with the Lord progresses too. A lot of that is what we are doing. Now, if for an example, like for instance, understanding their gifts and goals. Like, we help them to come out
probably things in the wood that's presents the mystery of redemption. It's coming out of Egypt and entering into the promised land. So the coming out part is a stage, coming out of the things of this world, coming into Christ. Now, there is a difference between those that are raised in the message, those that come from the word, but the principle is the same. Come out of things of this world to bring them into Christ. It's actually not until they have come out that they can enter into it. Now, this is where ministries, some ministries have a coming out message, but they got no entering into message. As parents, we've got to teach them to come out and enter into. You had your evangelists that were gifted to bring the people out of the things of this world, but then it was more the teaching ministries, the pastoral ministries that would bring them into the promises and positionally place them in the body, right? As parents, we've got to do the whole work. And that's what I call parental responsibilities and growing with them through the season. Now, they will only progress as far as we have progressed. Now, I find that one of the greatest weapons of warfare we've got is the love of God. It's not always corrective love, because they will get to a certain age, they'll rebel against that. It is more about the kind of fellowship and relationship that you can have with them, that they can talk to you about anything. When the children of Israel came to, what we're trying to do is to extract the supernatural part within them. Now, if you remember, as the children of Israel were coming up out of Egypt, they were blessed by their father Jacob. They were blessed by the prophet Moses. And all of these things were to do with the supernatural part of who they were. The Hebrew mothers actually cried out in their birth pains, their position. Now, if you take those three elements are supernatural, then it is the supernatural to allow them to know who they are in Christ. So it takes a supernatural element to fulfill them. Now, it was when they came, when the children of Israel had come into Joshua chapter 14, they had understood that we are children of Israel, our boundaries have been set in the word from the Red Sea to this border to this border. That was the boundaries of the promised land. But it came to a place where they had to understand, where do I fit in the promised land? So this land, this part of the Phinuah was allocated to Judah. This one was to Benjamin, this one was to Zebulun, this was to Naphtali, right? The promised land was being broken up as they were being positionally placed. But where do I fit? If I'm from the tribe of Judah, where do I fit? Now, a part of Matariki is being able to identify who you really are. And what they would talk about in Matariki is your whakapapa. But our whakapapa has to tie back to where we were before the foundation of the world. Now, the supernatural things have to be supernaturally divine. Like I said, by the time the children of Israel got to Joshua chapter 14, they're in the promised land. But there was still land to be possessed. They were in the promised land, but they didn't know what part of that lot was theirs. So Joshua chapter 14, it spoke about how that, what was that fellow's name? Somebody get your Bible, Joshua chapter 14, and read for us the first three verses if you can. Got that one, brother? See, this is interactive. It's getting you fellas to do my homework. Joshua chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Anybody that gets it.
Distributed for the inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes, for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and an half tribe on the other side of the Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance, as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land.
So there's the three there. The first one was Eleazar the priest, right? So we always thought, and this was a concept that I had back in the day, was that it was Joshua the Holy Ghost that positionally placed us in the body of Christ. But Joshua chapter 14 was showing it was Eleazar the priest. Was that his name? Right? Eleazar the priest. Now, why would a priest be a part of positionally placing the members in the body? Have a think about it. Why would the priest be that, and what would that signify today? What did Eleazar the priest have that other people don't have? Discernment. Because that's a gift that was given. And you need discernment to position in place. What else did Eleazar the priest have that not everybody has? He's an intercessor. He's a prayer warrior, gifted to be able to fulfill those things. Because remember, he's got to be able to place them, because the blessings of Jacob, their father, the blessings of Moses, the priest, and whatever element did I mention? What were the mothers doing? The Hebrew mothers were crying out in their birth pains where their children would be positioned and placed. So you got three supernatural elements that help to positionally place the children. If you catch this principle, that actually helps us to know how to positionally place every member in the body. Something else about Eleazar the priest. What did the priest have to fulfill his calling? Faith, yes, everybody has that. There's a specific thing. It was how we would describe discernment in the Old Testament. Urim Thummim. He had the Urim Thummim, because if something is supernatural, the lights have got to flash. Hey? If it was the right position, if it was the right place, the lights would flash. So that's your Urim Thummim, that's your, I would say, the ministry is a help in positionally placing the members in the body. And more often than not, the pastoral ministry. The pastoral ministry. Now, we also had the, I think it was the fathers, is that right? What is this? Or the heads of the fathers of the tribes, hey? Heads of the fathers of tribes. So that's showing now your parental responsibility, because it's not just up to the Holy Ghost and the pastor. That's where your parental responsibility comes in. Now, why would there be a parental responsibility? What's that about? Man, this session is a half hour solid. What was that, bro? You honor the father, that's what a good one. Well, Larry, you were gonna say something? Bringing them up in the admonition of the word. PA. That's good. And so has the mother, so it's parenthood. Sister Margaret. Oh, that's a nice one. Parent being able to give a. Say that again, Sister Margaret. I want an appropriate gift. That was a word I was looking for. An appropriate gift to raise their children right. So which parent can anybody think of that had an appropriate gift to give to their children, one of their children? Brother Jess? Right. And then Solomon asking for wisdom because it was in him. Give me another one that a parent gave one of their children a gift that was going to enhance their gift and calling. You've got to think deep now, huh? Just the TA? Joseph with the coat of many colors, that's a very good one because Joseph was going to reflect Christ. So he gave him a coat of many colors with rainbow colors, eh? No, Sister Ty, you fellas are late, so you've got to come in the naughty seats up the front over here. No, okay. So see, that's what it is, though. So then parents recognizing gifts and then giving an appropriate gift. So you don't have to give a doll to the sister, give her a mic. And then all the other kids are saying, shh, because they get sick of hearing it. But see, it's identifying the gift and giving an appropriate gift. What about giving a musical instrument instead of a truck? Okay? Or a gun?
So we found that, like, I mean, with our girl, is we have a whole bunch of musical instruments at home, and I think they get the music from Christine because I can't hold a tune or any keys. I don't know where they are, but to create an environment where, because you can kind of see, like, even when Annalise couldn't even speak, which is like not even two, she could sing, and she would actually mimic my voice singing, and so Christine actually said, "Stop singing in front of her because she's copying you." But we can have this kind of relationship. It's beautiful, you know. But and so I did because I wanted to be able to sing well. But anyway, we created an environment because you see there's gifts there. So you got to foster that and guide it. That it's a desire because it's not making them become something. It's creating an environment where they can, what's in them can be expressed. And that's what we did with instruments and so on, you know. So yeah.
That was an excellent point about parents identifying certain characteristics on their children and giving appropriate gifts. That's important. So, responsibilities, one, Eleazar, priest with the Urim Thummim. Two, parental responsibility, because we should be looking at the characteristics and attributes of their children. We should know them like you take Elias, I'll pick on him because he's not in. He was such a ticking fellow when he was black. Like when I took away access to the TV, he drilled a hole in the wall, snuck a wire out, and put a little aerial up on top of the roof. And I couldn't see that for nothing, right? And then he connects the TV where I took off the aerial stuff. He connects it up. He tunes in the frequency and everything like that. And I saw it and I just laughed. Now, he's probably expecting to get a hiding, but I laughed because I thought to myself, that's a gift. He could get a radio, and I might have, I got sick and tired of them listening to all that rock and roll rubbish, so I detuned it. So he gets in there and tunes it. He plays around with it, connects things up, and until it's pumping again. So he become our technician in the church. But it's being able to identify, that's parental responsibility, to be able to identify these peculiarities, the singers, and then giving them appropriate gifts. And some of those what I would call talents, man, I think they're just, we as parents, because they knew Joseph. Jacob and his mother knew that he was a peculiar child. And of course they don't get elevated above nobody. I don't know, myself personally, mum and dad should never have favorites. Hey? Okay? But everybody thinks that's a favorite, but it don't mean they are. It's just that the naughty one had to get more hidings, hey, than the one that wasn't naughty. They got the more attention. And then this one has said, oh, this is the favorite. My mokos are the same. Exactly the same, mate. But look at what happens when you've got actually a few generations in the things of the Lord. Because now it's not only the parents that help, but actually grandparents can help too. Because where did Jacob learn how to be a shepherd? From Abraham, his grandfather, and from Jacob, his father. So it's really nice when you've got a few generations, but I helped them, but they got two parents. And me and Teresa ain't that. But I helped them. Okay? So, like we said, Joshua chapter 14, Eleazar the priest, the parents, and Joshua. Those three that help the children of Israel find, understand the place where their lot falls. That's how you get a scriptural sus on those things. Then there's actually specialities in all our children. We as parents have got to see it. We got to raise it and allow it to be beneficial in the body. Because that's the ultimate game. But before they can be beneficial in the body, they got to be beneficial at home. Then that's how we actually have to give them areas of responsibility, because they outgrow the areas of responsibility that we give them. I mean, before, when my young fellows were asking me, "Oh, Dad, can I have the car?" I'm saying, "Bro, before you get the car, learn how to drive that lawnmower. Hey? Learn that lawnmower before you get the keys to the car. If I can see you can maintain that lawnmower, we'll think about giving you the car. If I can't see you maintaining your own bicycle, You think you're going to get my keys? So it's giving them areas of responsibility to be able to raise up to fulfill those areas of responsibility too, right? Because if, like Brother Ben was saying, if they outgrow those areas of responsibility and we don't give them more land to possess, where are they going to go to get stimulation? Right. That's it. And coming through the sea. See, this hill is like we're talking Bible and we're talking understanding foundation. We're talking about a language of ABCs before we come into algebra. And that's the thing for me is to be able to raise these young ones from in the admonition of the word, like Brother Ben was saying the first time. You know, maybe somebody wants to share about the some of these things with their own children. And then sometimes, you know, how can I put it? Watching the way that my mum raised me, watching things that my dad would do, because it was basically my mum who raised us, that didn't help it. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to make sure that I don't raise my children like that. Even before I understood the values in the scripture. Because not every situation is an ideal situation. In fact, most of it is not a Garden of Eden. If you have a look at the pattern in the Garden of Eden, how that the Lord was actually preparing Adam and Eve to come into the responsibility of parenting. So what does he do? He gets them to govern the economy that he placed them over. He got him to build up an environment that was just right to introduce children. But then he had to understand, now this isn't a perfect scenario. We don't come from a perfect scenario. In that perfect scenario, it was like now that Adam got to govern the economy. He got to name the animals. He understood those animal names by their characteristics. And he called them the names that the father would have called them. So you see, right there, God is training him how to come into the foreknowledge of God. You know, and that's an ideal situation. Plus, he created an atmosphere. In other words, they had to have a nest egg, prepare a house, prepare the environment before bringing Eve into that environment. And then before they had the responsibility of parenthood, he had to understand the mystery of redemption, how to redeem his life. Eight, how to redeem his wife. Did he fall? Oh, she fell, right? So he had to know how to bring her back. Now that's starting to get closer to home. He had to understand the mystery of how to bring Eve back in. Because he had to now identify with her failings.
But
yeah, so Adam is the Godhead, eh? God's head. He's one with God. They both are, but like he was, you see that Eve, if we look at her as the desires, the she, so like a, we look at it as the flesh is Eve, is wants desire, it wants knowledge, it wants all those things that this life can offer. But see, Adam was separated from that. He was actually God's head. He was the mind of God, so therefore he had to make a decision whether to use the sword of life. And that's how we are here today. Here in the evil.
I'll just answer in that conversation. You see, in that day that they ate, there was promise of good, that day we shall truly go. Now, he took the fruit. And able, so right, Adam, because he was eternal, just so that everybody even the Adam knowingly
Yes.
took the fruit
Yes.
because now he's unfolding the mystery of redemption.
Yes.
He takes the fruit, eats thereof that day that you eat thereof that day you shall surely die. But Adam was the very embodiment of the Lord. And by entering into that sin and that failure, it could be brought back into the right condition. Because
Yes.
that is what I'm saying is we have to understand the mystery of redemption to be able to redeem our wife so that now we can enter into the responsibility of parenthood because we know and understand what has fallen, and we can bring it back. Now, a lot of times we're not in that ideal situation where we, you know, because we weren't raised up in nice environments like that. But it shows us a pattern, it sets the pattern in scripture. Sister, you had something that you wanted to add to the audience? Grab the mic again, sister, everyone.
I just wanted to say, from experience of getting it really horribly wrong, that the balance you're talking about, the admonition of the word, it's the nurture and admonition of the word, and it's a really fine balance. And I feel like I used to ponder on the thought that I think when you've got a religious spirit at work, you can have too much admonition. And the nurture is really important. And I know that primarily it seems that, you know, often, well, traditionally, I'll put it that way, the nurture comes from the mother and the admonition comes from the father. But I really believe that the balance where you can have nurturing, that's what I'm seeing and hearing from men of God, is that there is nurture as well coming from the father. And it's just so important.
Good
And
one.
yeah, praise the Lord.
That's good. And there's another point I want to make is that role changing in the modern society?
we're actually a lot of the nurturing and the admonition roles are changing. And is it good for change? Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's got to be a balance, but really the scriptural part is like Brother Branham was saying, that the mothers are the pastor to their children to a certain age. And if you take somebody like Samuel in the Bible, where Samuel was weaned, right? And then he was brought into service because Eli, the priest, said to her, instructed her to wean the child. What does that mean? What does it mean to wean the child? Hey? Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So yeah, to
Bring them off the milk.
yeah, get them off the milk and into a condition that they can digest milk.
Yeah, that's good. Hey? To prepare them. And once again, parental responsibility. And to wean them from the milk or to bring them through their ABCs until they've got their foundation set, it's still parental responsibility. Then bring them into the tabernacle, and then that's where he began to learn about the voice of God. Now, when he heard the voice of God, who was he? Who did he respond to? Eli. He responded to Eli because those were the voices that they were used to, but now they've got to be trained to catch the heavenly voice. And then once, but this is where the training comes from. It has to come from parents first, wean the child, and then the ministry, because Eli is now telling him or instructing him how to have a relationship with the God that was calling him. Now, all of our children even have callings from their heart. They feel the call of God, and they sometimes don't know how to respond to them. Oh, is that you, Dad? Was that you calling me? That's where that next stage, and then you're understanding the stages that the young ones are going through, and they're bringing them through those things. Now, somebody else was going to want them to work with them. You see, because all I need to see is a twitch of your nose. I'm like an auctioneer, and you've got the mic. But that's good. That's the kind of thing that we are looking at. Because, like Sister said, we don't always get it. But it
I was just thinking that part of what the sister was saying too, the rawness of, us in our own rawness, in our own revelation, we can be too legal and not show enough mercy. But the higher, I guess, the apex is coming into a co-equal partner, co-equal partnership with your wife as we go along. As we come into, that restoring, that, because that's my journey. The restoration of my partner, the restoration of ourselves, to the birthing of our children. And but the growing part is the more under the position, the more we knew about one another, the more become more of a co-equal partnership.
Most, like, you think of our children really pick up what's most important. Think, our children, they really pick up what is actually the most valuable thing to us. I know some people who are believers, they were believers, but their most important thing, for example, was their diet. And because that was their most important thing, their children, they've all gone sadly wayward, but they keep the diets, therefore the parents think they're fine. And so we've got to be very careful that our thing that we hold up before our children is the Lord, not our cultural or religious spirit, but it's the Word of God. It's like, how Brother Brown tells the story of the boy who found a stamp in the attic, and he goes and sells it for an ice cream, right?
the parents didn't realize what they had in their house was incredibly valuable, probably more valuable than the house they were living in. But the thing is, because the parents didn't realize what they had, it was stuck in the attic. But if that was put on the mantelpiece in a frame, then that would automatically tell the son, this thing's valuable. It's more valuable than an ice cream. But because they didn't put it there in a place of prominence, well, he just said, sweet, I want an ice cream, and sold it, you know. And that's what we've always tried to instill to our children. That's what actually Christine's mum told her. Because she'd ask, why do we do certain things dressed a certain way? And so Christine's mum said, well, it's because we love the Lord. And we've always tried to instill that into them. The reason we do what we do is not because of rules, it's because of a love relationship. And I think if we hold the Lord up, if he's number one in our lives, more than anything else, that will impart into their lives. And that will, even if they go astray, I believe it'll bring them in. And it's like, many times we get it wrong. I know I get it wrong a lot. But God's grace is greater than that. Because it's more than, it's not us, our human ability. Sure, we put all of our energies into our children, raising them up, want to see them come to their position in the body, but it takes the Holy Ghost ultimately, to do the job. And but I'm so thankful, that the Lord gives us all a desire for him to come and live in our lives. And I think also, how Eli was asked by Samuel, Samuel said, did you call me? Eli recognized that God was talking to this boy. And I think it's to me, it's such a joy as your children get older, well, our experience, especially our eldest, and they're Lily too, and Gabriella, but when God starts talking to them and they start sharing things from the scriptures, bless them. And I've got sermons out of what Annalise has shared to me. It's been really quite neat. And but it's you can create a relationship around the word like that, just in everyday life. And does anyone have anything they'd like to share?
So I'm an Anne now, and so I can say a lot about what not to do when raising children. But our kids with mothers, when we're around them more than the dads at work and things. So we do see a lot of their giftings. We Some are really easy, some are not so easy to see. I've got a child that seemed to love art. Had one child that was particularly drawn to books, and it was always a pleasure to read about Jesus at night because she asked such, really good questions that you just marveled at, you can see little things in different ones. But one of the things I found as a parent was, and I think what I believe now is we're actually in a season of maturing, and I really sense that there's more love, more humility, and children really see that in us. We're incredible men, and where our lives, our children look, and they're looking all the time to see how we deal with our mistakes, how we react to situations. It's not about being perfect. It's about how our humility to the word, how we love the Lord. And how we put that in action. I think that's huge. One of the things at our church that I'm really enjoying is just the humility among the brethren. That you can just say that's the Lord doing that, and it must be going nationwide because this is the time for it. But one of our brothers, not here at the moment, but he mentioned to his children one time, he said, who do you think is the most important person in this household? And the kids were all looking at me, Mum. And I was blown away. I think, wow. His wife was his most important part, his duty to his children, but he said, my wife is a part of me. And I think that the children look up to that because they see the love that dad has for his wife, and naturally gonna, the wife's just naturally gonna respect and revere her husband when he when that's re when that's respected. And I think that to me will speak a lot to the children because they're only with us for a little time. And then they'll find their, we pray with them. And also they're learning the mechanics. When they come to an age that only God can do, only God can draw. In a panic when I in my earlier days, I was just praying and praying. Now I'm at a point where I'm like, you know what? It's not my job to draw. It's his job, and I'm just making myself available. And yeah, I just think that putting God first in everything, they see it. It really matters.
So important that you have a, because our children, they see our actions, like you're saying, they study us more than we realize. And for them to see, especially I think in the past, not that I was in the message, but speaking to a brother who's, well, he's in Australia, but he said when he was growing up in the message, it was projected as perfection. He had to be this perfect person, and he just couldn't relate to that, and it discouraged him so much. And I think as parents, it's so important, especially nowadays, to show, hey, we are human. Show our children we're not perfect in our, we don't have flawless life. We have our ups and downs, but I think Brother Bram even says that our children, we're our best and our worst at home. But to show them throughout all of that, yes, but we still love the Lord, we're still going forward, we're still growing. And I think as we can model a real home, then they'll see the contrast when they go out into the world and see their friends and like people in the world or whatever. They can see there's such a contrast between family, even if there's always drama and ups and downs in family, but they can see the atmosphere in our home is different to the Lord's. And I think because they're looking at us like, apparently sons marry basically their mum, like they're subconsciously looking for someone like their mum, and I think maybe daughters the same with their dad. So I think if we can model as parents what it is to be a godly, husband or wife, mum or dad, then I'll say, I want that. I want this kind of home. And I think that's, there's a lot of holding power in that because, that's what they would, they see a difference and they want the good for them. It takes a lot of God with us.
Yep. Look, I'm not one of the modern parents. I'm way past, but the scary thought that I, looking at parents today, rearing their children, I don't think I would have been. I mean, Brother Malcolm asked me to say something, but I felt the difficulty is me growing up and my kids in another era. Now we come to this modern time where you have, I think the parents so difficult to raise kids, and that's what I felt. I can't talk because of my kids. I'm not raising kids. So looking at parents today, I don't know how I would have handled kids raising children today, because when we started off, myself and Doreen, we, and I want to drop this in first of all, to have an influence upon your children, it depends upon the relationship that the father and the mother has. You will never have your children
bringing joy to you, more pain and heartache, if mom and dad is not on the same page. They have to speak the same language, because kids are more observant than we realize. They observe. And the way that you, myself as a husband, treat my wife, automatically my son think that's the right way. So he will treat his wife exactly the same, and vice versa with a girl. You know, and we raising our kids, those years, I believe it's still worth today, if we are really sincere, is having an altar. You got to have an altar in your home where mom and dad gather their kids. Father is the high priest in the home. Father needs to lead the children. Because the Bible says, I think in Proverbs 22:6, train up the child in the way the child ought to go. And when the child grows older, he will not depart from it. You know, I remember one time, can I talk a little bit? I remember one time my baby daughter, she at university, she became violent. And then one day, she became part of an ensemble that plays all around. And then we came to a situation. She's never been, we always cared for them. We always were like the mother was like a hen, a brooding hen over her girls. So when Samantha then had to go and play at some function, another guy, an unsaved guy, came to my home to pick up Samantha. And this was one of the most scary things for me, to let my daughter get into a car of a guy that I don't know. And I was really troubled by it until God spoke to my heart, said, let her go. You've trained her. You raised her under the word. Leave it to me. Don't you try and work things out. Leave it to me. So we, by the grace of God, I was a very terrible guy in my days. But it was one thing, I grew up in a home where mom and dad were Christians, not message believers, church Christians. I saw them praying in the morning, praying in the afternoon, praying in the evening. And I grew up under that. Yet I was a drunkard, yet I was drugs, yes, I was doing those things. But I grew up under that thing. So when I saw that in my youth, all my life, had such an effect upon my life that when we decided to get married, unsaved, I was totally unsaved. When I got married to her, then I said, Doreen, prayer works. So we adopted that in our marriage, and we haven't stopped. The kids are gone out of a home, and we haven't stopped. That is our life, because we saw it working with our kids. If you don't know, I've got 5 children. I've got 2 sons, got 3 daughters. My eldest daughter is married to a pastor. My youngest daughter is married to a pastor. Laverne, she's married to a pastor. Then, of course, you've got Ferdy, which is an assistant, and you've got my son in South Africa, which is a minister. And somebody asked me, how did you do that? I says, prayer. I says, when you were sleeping, myself and Doreen were laying in our faces before God. So that's why I say, does it work today? Because that's all I can recommend. Prayer. Having your family together, Because sometimes it is that the kids see dad at home. He sees dad at home as one person, and he sees dad at home at church as another person. And the problem is that the kid is sitting there. Who's the real dad? Who is the real one? The one at home or the one at church? So we said those years, I says, God help us that we would make it easier for our children to serve the Lord. Let me and Doreen live right. Let we and Doreen have a relationship, how we talk to one another. I want to say this afternoon, if you want to have a success, your kids growing up fearing God, watch how you talk to your wife and your wife talk to the husband. That will have such a profound effect upon our children. That will help them in the ways ahead. So may God just bless you.
Thank you, Brother Freddie. It's timeless advice, you know. Prayer changes things. Family altar, read little scripture, pray together. We try and mix it up a little bit at home, but we sing some songs too. But yeah, it's so important. You know, prayer changes things. I think you do real well in this generation, raising children, because that's the answer. You know, prayer, letting God, you know, because when we pray, it's God that, you know, comes into control into every situation. And I think, yeah, so, because I think many times, you know, it's easy to let family altar go, but it's so important to keep it. You know, it doesn't matter how tired, and sometimes I'm just too tired, but no, we've got to do it, you know, and it does pay off. And then also, as you said, Brother Freddie, about, you know, how we treat each other, you know, husband and wife. And also, many times, what I found that our father, how his relationship to us, subconsciously, we think God is that way. So if our father was distant, we think God is distant. If our father didn't care, we think God doesn't really care. And we have to be willing to open our lives to God, say, God, change how I view you, not based on how my father was, or no father, but how you really are. And so it's quite important that we let God model, so when our children meet the Lord, they're not surprised by his character and nature, because it's the same as ours, because he's made us stuff. You know, so, yeah, the Lord help us, you know. But there's a beautiful thing about being a father or a mother. That's a God-given office, you know, and it's incredibly powerful, you know, the sovereignty of the family, you know, the position of a father and mother, you know, head of the, you know, the father's head of the house and the high priest of the home. And God honors those offices. You know, I feel inadequate, but God don't look at what we feel about ourselves, you know, like Moses and all of his excuses at the burning bush. God didn't care about those, because he commissioned them to the job. And that's the thing, I think we're very blessed in this day. We realize God's given us, you know, like Brother Brown says, you know, a position of being adopted in the body of Christ. He lists a housewife as a adopted position in the body. And sometimes we think, you know, being an adopted son or daughter of God is something what we would view as some high profile thing in the church. Many times it's not that at all. Being a father, being a mother, you know, those are very powerful. Where God has placed us is incredibly powerful. I think that was pretty good for that agreement. But what I love about this day and age, I remember when Annalise was really young, and so they go to school. If you homeschool your kids, that's fine. We just felt to send our kids to school, and for the time being, they'll be at school. But I remember when Annalise, so for the primary school they go to is fairly conservative. It's not, you know, there's not a lot of rainbow stuff and all those things. But there's a little bit. And so Annalise came home one day and started to share these things. I think she was, what, 7 or something, you know, and started to share this with Christine. And so Christine said, oh, that's so exciting. That's what the Bible said, it'll be Sodom and Gomorrah again. That's what that is. We're living in prophecy. You know, and so everything that they would come home with about those things, which is meant to confuse their identity, we actually use it against the devil to confirm their identity in the Word.
And it's actually the devil just shoots himself in the foot, you know? So it's not something, in my opinion, it's not something we need to fear. Because remember, the God is always greater than what the enemy is doing. Always greater. He's never equal, never, you know, no, our God is undefeatable. So it doesn't matter how dark the world gets, the light of the word is always brighter. And so it's so good that we can show our children in scripture where we are and what they're facing everyday life is prophecy being fulfilled. And to show that, hey, but yeah, that's here, but God's also here. And to me, it just it solidifies the identity of Christians. That's what people are looking for, is identity. We found it. Yeah, I remember when she was like 8, I was trying to tell her about chromosomes, how man can't become woman and stuff, and she's sitting there and his Emily's going over her head. But I mean, but the show, it's prophecy. You know, this is where we are. Like the
yeah, well, please, everyone. Enjoying the cordial. Honestly, you know, I can only use an example. I know my son, he loves his soccer. Yeah, the soccer. I can't stand the sport. Honestly. But because you love your son, right? You love your boy, you want to get into it. And when you can explain things through the word, the way that he's going to, because like, he's an F chess player as well. And I said, that's our Lord Jesus Christ too. You know, and, you know, you can pop in these sorts of things. You know, we just look at our own walk as well. You know, I didn't learn about God until I was playing rugby and making big hits, being popular and, you know, hurting fellas. You know, that was unconverted state. You know, and but I learned how to be a team member, to look after your mate, to look after the ball, as one would say. Now we've got a ball of great price, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, right? We got that ball and it's in our hand. And I can see when I'm watching my children, they are at defenders. They'll keep the approaching offer, you know, the approaching team away from their goal. They'll get the intercept, you know? And I'm looking at this, but this is what chess and playing with our children come along. You know, yeah, they tick us off. What? You know, but, you know, we just go along. And I know, yeah, my girl, she loves to read, but she likes netball as well. You know, of course, I think of it like a dad, you know. Oh, her skirt's too short. Is all these fellas looking at my blood? What the? You know? But then you got to trust in what God's got. Hey, eh? Trust God immensely. You know, just like our brother was saying. Yeah, and plus, you know, what's brought me with my daughter is like, you know, she was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's got it. You know? You know, and like I was going thinking about the story about Moses. You know, when he was born, he had a little bit of time with his mum and dad. And in that time, that family altar thing, you know, the word of God was, even though she was nurturing it, right? And then put it onto the Nile. For the crocodiles, you know, they had a taste for children, eh? And then what happened, you know, ends up in Pharaoh's house, the world, eh? In the world. And then the daughter of Pharaoh says, oh, we need a wet nurse. Who was the wet nurse? Miriam, his daughter, or the sister, got the mum in there to be amongst these Pharaoh, you know? And with all that nurturing and all that, to me, this is the foundation of the scriptures that we have we've come to know. And this is how we can relate to our own life. You know, I just love these things. Yeah, there's all these ugly bits as well. But, you know, you got to take the cotton wool away sometimes and let them just stand on their own revelation. You know? And with that, with my girl, you know, yeah, she's going to the high school ball and all this sort of thing. But, you know, this is the thing, they want to look pretty. They want to look all that, you know. You love them. Because you just want, you know, if you want to be the ogre and say, no, you can't go, eh? Because that's a dad. You know, you don't want to, but you got to believe You got to believe that God is in her, and he is. And he's got a hold of her, and he's keeping it strong. And then, you know, what surprised me the most, because I think, you know, as we had our Wednesday meetings here, you know, there was a lot of kōrero with my daughter. You know, the pastor will be preaching, and she's chatter about the things the pastor's bringing. Of course, she's not understanding. But you got to, you know, to your understanding, you have to talk to her. But you also catch what the father's saying. It's like these little episodes, the fellowship we're having now. You know, they're not clear on the understanding of what the word's coming. That's why it's left up to us to discuss what we know and how we can have fellowship with our children. You know, you can't say no, but even though no is a nice word, but you can just see the influence that comes with that, eh? But you're just to stand strong, you know, with the word of God too. You know, what surprised me the most about I'm a father of four, if you don't know. I got a girl with three boys. And I was talking to my two oldest come with me to church now. Yeah, I want the other ones to come, but I think you feel they're still in the immature stage, can't comprehend what's happening with what's coming out of the pulpit on a Wednesday. But they'll come. You know, that's the foundational stuff, you know, like the ABC, the stories and like these sorts of things. But I think we're coming into the algebra now for our teenagers. You know, and algebra was not my strong suit. No way, but the Lord is. You know, he just makes it so clear for us. So anyway, with my boy Jeremiah, you know, the thing that surprised me most was during service on Wednesday, he asked me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, all these things, because that's what was coming out of the pulpit on Wednesday. And I was like, yeah, that's right. The exact sort of thing we have posted in them. You know, you mightn't think, they're listening, they might be playing around with their knees and twiddling their thumbs and doing these sorts of things, but they're actually catching them. You know, that's the generation, eh? They can catch these things so quick. You know, I can also see an influence of other things too, but when we came through our walk, we were influenced by other things as well. But, you know, when you can look back on your footsteps, they're going through the same thing as well. That's the same blueprint that the Lord brought us through as well, up to now. So, yeah, my kids don't sing. They hate being in front of people, but I know they like to build. My boys like to build. That's why, you know, you have the Epica on Lego blocks. Hey, yeah, it's a wilder, but there's a blueprint. You got to follow the blueprint to get your Lego block how it was supposed to look like. And again, it might be Ninjago, but it's still creating something like this, you know? So, you know, to me, all this thing prior to my four children, I didn't want anything to do. But as we've gotten a bit more mature, you know, we just have to evolve, I guess you can say. You've got to can't put that full stop on the word. You got to keep that commonly and keep on adding to, because that's what the Bible was all about, our God. So, God bless.
Yeah, we've got to grow with them. So was that time? Okay. Well, let's. How about we close in prayer, and we thank you as well for the great, great discussion. Amen. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the discussion we've had today, Lord, about parenting. And Lord, you see our hearts, Lord. Our heart's desire is to see our children, Lord, come in contact with you, Lord, fall in love with you, and walk with you. Lord, when we can't lead them no more, Lord, there always comes that time where we've got to let go and let you have your way. So, Father, whatever age that our children are at, Lord, help us, Father, to be alongside them, to guide them, to show them the way, Lord, too. Lord, that you would live through us, Lord Jesus, that they would see that you are alive, not just in church, but at home, dear God, in everyday life. You're living, you're working. So, Father, I just pray you bless the rest of our day. We thank you for this time. Bless each one here, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.